What's up, Hyperfast Nation? On this episode of the show, we've got a very amazing real estate agent and team leader. Last year, he sold 142 homes on his own, right? Over $100 million in production for him personally, and his team did over $100 million on top of that, above and beyond that. He has an amazing story of how he made the transition from selling $75 million while being a manager at a Target. Welcome to the show, Jason Shepardak. Welcome to the show, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to have you on. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. I know you've got an amazing course coming out based on your experience of doing really, really well in a challenging market. So I know there's a lot of real estate agents out there that are struggling. Maybe you're even thinking about getting out, or they're just pissed because they're working twice as hard, their volume's in half, and you've definitely got some solutions that we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, why don't we start just by giving the listeners and viewers a little bit of your bio, background, how you got into real estate, because it's a super interesting story, one of the most interesting I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I went from being an ice dancer, figure skater. So if you don't enjoy the podcast, just go to Google Images and look at my spandex outfits. To being a Target store manager, to buying my first home and realizing that I should probably get a license. Then I started selling real estate, ended up selling $75 million in real estate while working a 50-hour-a-week job at Target, running a store with 350 employees. And then very quickly realized that was unmanageable, started a real estate team, and then last year I personally sold $100 million in real estate in individual production, and then my team cleared about $220 million total production with myself.
So, how many units was the $100 million?
Yeah, so that's the crazy part. So a lot of the time my personal volume falls into team volume, and a lot of time it doesn't get talked about, but I sold 142 houses individually last year.
So it's like the most I've ever heard of.
I think
you know, there's like Ricky Caruth always talked about 100 that he did, which I thought was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a life, so for anyone aspiring to selling more than 100 houses a year, you have to ask yourself, like, do you want that lifestyle? Because it's tough, right? And a lot of help and resources, but life-changing year for me, obviously. And learned a ton. And I think in real estate, and we'll talk about this today, is I don't think real estate's about the number of years of experience, it's about the number of transactions you do, because that's where the experience comes from, right? That's at least my perspective on things. So that's me. And now I run a team called the Shepherd Homes Group, and I'm on a podcast with Dan.
Well, you do the math on that. 100, was it 144 units?
142, yeah.
Okay, so like 12, just under 12 per month average.
Yes. But it's crazy, because in real estate, it cycles. You have 1 month where you do six in June. June was bonkers. You want to know what I did in June?
No.
27 transactions in June.
Wow. Well, it's amazing to do that in 2023. 49% of agents sold zero or one.
Oh. Yes. And volume was down. I think nationwide it was at 12 million transactions in 2019, and it was like 4 million transactions nationwide last year.
Well, maybe if you count both sides. So
Total national transactions.
We're definitely at like a 30-year low, like 3.9 million, 4 million, somewhere in there.
Somewhere crazy. Plus or minus. Don't quote me directly, but Google fact check me. But that's pretty much what it is, like a third of the volume nationwide. It's wild.
How are you selling that many on your own? We'll call it 10 to 12 per month. Like, what kind of support systems, admin, have you built out to do that?
Yeah, I think as a lot of people aspire to real estate, they're really afraid to invest in their business and themselves until the business is there. And then the business never comes, so they never invest. And it's just like a vicious cycle. For me, I just kept on taking little leaps of faith with hiring the right people to support the growth. So for me, this past year, having like an executive realtor was a really big change. So I had a full-time licensed real estate agent that only helped me in my transactions, was full-time TC, full-time admin, managed my email, even at some points helped me drive around so that I was working in the back while they were driving.
Was this person salaried or salary plus bonus?
Salary plus commission split, so they also help show homes. So like a lot of the time you'll help a buyer, they want the personal connection with you, they're hiring you. But at the same time as, you know, the next round of homes, three or four homes later, your agent can show those for you. So that agent really helped me show a lot of property. And sometimes I didn't meet the client until closing. That happens, right? You get a call, you have all the resources, you see one house, you write the offer, you ratify it, and then you meet them at closing. So that happens too.
What did this person do everything? Did they like write the offer, inspections, or do you like hand off parts to another person?
Yeah,
they
so
literally do everything.
So as the business has grown, so I run a team like you guys, and so our team, we have a virtual offer writing staff. So 7 days a week, we have people writing offers, so I don't have to write those. We have a listing coordinator that does all listing coordination with the runner that does lockboxes and signs. Then we have an operations director that does the accounting, commissions. I've never logged into Sky Slope or any of those things. I don't even know how to do a commission disbursement. So that all gets done. Then I have my executive realtor that helps me day-to-day managing email and the TC work. And then we still have a third-party TC and some additional admin support staff. So for me, if that full-time realtor gets overwhelmed with workload, they've got people to delegate to when I get really busy. And now that we've kind of grown the team, that's really needed because I'm all over the place.
Let's step back a little to when you were at Target. You were managing, you said 350?
Yeah, 350 team members, they call
them
at Target. Yeah.
And you were doing that. How many years were you living this dual life?
Yeah, so my first 3 years of real estate, I was a Target store manager and a realtor, and I was secret.
Right.
So everyone at Target didn't know that I was a realtor, and everyone in real estate didn't know I was a Target. The only thing you knew is back in the day, I would be wearing like a red shirt and khaki pants showing houses. Always in red and khaki was my thing for a long time.
Which fit your brokerage colors, right?
I was in Keller Williams and Remax
at the
time, so it kind of fit, I guess. Maybe people thought I was repping Keller Williams hard at the time, I don't know. So
you were selling, you said 75 million, was that, so 25?
So 75 million was the last year,
yeah.
It was like 120 something units, something like that.
120 units while you had a managerial job.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you have the realtor partner associate thing?
So that year I was like trying to figure out what a team was,
right,
and if I wanted to do the team thing. I didn't really have the Shepherd Homes Group brand yet. I had a third party TC, which I highly recommend for any agent. I had two realtors that were kind of part of the team that would help me show homes during the day. So I was in my office, they were showing property. And then I kind of had a very part-time admin, Sharon, who is now my operations director and runs the company today. She's a part-time team member for us, working hourly at the time. So that's what I had.
Wow. Where did the business come from during those early days? You probably weren't out on social, right? Or where?
No,
it was
secret.
You're trying to be secret, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I mean,
so where's the business come from?
Yeah, it was really tough, to be honest, like really tough, because so many agents build their businesses on SOI, right? SOI, open houses, like it's such a simple thing to do, but for me, my SOI didn't know anything, right? I kept my SOI very secret. My wife and I had also just moved to DC, so she was an attorney, got into law school. So when I was building my real estate business, I was new to the city. I didn't really know a lot of people building their network. So for me, three sources of business were the three biggest pieces. So one, agent-to-agent relationships in multi-state. I just got to know a lot of realtors really quickly and networked a lot and got a lot of referrals because a lot of them weren't, like all the Virginia agents weren't licensed in DC, for example. So I would get business that way. Two is the biggest facet of my business was referral platforms. So I didn't have the money to invest in leads, right? I was paying for law school, lifestyle, all these different things, plus building the business. With referrals, I was happy to pay a 30% referral to a referral platform like a HomeLight or Effective Agents or Fast Expert or a Veterans United. And I just totally owned those metrics. And what people don't realize is they're 100% algorithmic platforms. The better you do, the better your conversion, the more leads you get. And so that became a really important pillar of me building lead flow for myself. And then after that, I started spending some money on leads through the standard stuff people see, like Google, third-party companies, Realtor.com. And I just worked them a lot better than everybody else, I think was what I came down to.
What made you finally decide, you know what, 75 million, I think the real estate thing is working,
yeah.
I can maybe, step away from Target.
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up from very humble means, so I have always had to fight like a scarcity mindset, where like, I was a worst case scenario planner, like all the time. Like it was only, the sky was gonna fall apart at any given time.
Right.
So at that point I had a really huge milestone, which is netting $1 million in income, and not like revenue, like netting $1 million net that year. And it was life changing. I was like, what world are we part of? And I looked at my wife, I said, this is probably a pretty safe time to go all in on myself. We had a great operating reserve, so I would not recommend that for everyone, right? Don't wait to do that. I wish that I had gone full-time real estate a lot sooner. I think we've got steady income, 2 deals a month, like go in on yourself. If the only variable in your life is you, your choices, and your success, I mean, I think that's a pretty good thing to bet on, don't you?
Yeah.
So I didn't have that, right? And I just started coaching too, and so I hired a great coach. You know Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
Big Tony Robbins guy? The year I did that, right before COVID, I flew to LA, went to Tony Robbins, Unleashed the Power Within, when it was in person with 15,000 people.
Walked on the fire.
I was like, if Oprah can do it, I can do it. And so at 1 a.m. with 15,000 people, I walked across fire. And so I came back and was like, screw this, I'm quitting my job. I waited until I got my bonus, called my boss at 9 a.m. after bonus day. He said, the only reason why somebody calls me at 9 a.m. after bonus day is to quit. Are you quitting? I said, yep. So now here we are.
Did you tell me you're a realtor at that point?
Yeah. I was like, how do you not know? Because if you Googled me at that point, right, Zillow came up, like everything kind of came up. My team knew. They're like, we knew you were a realtor. We love you being a realtor. They liked me better as a boss being a realtor because I was less micromanaging and really allowed them to run the business.
Yeah. 350 SOI
to exactly. I don't think the average Target team member is the perfect buyer, but yes, you know, it really helped when I left. Everybody at Target was very supportive, which was cool.
So that was right at the start of COVID.
Yep.
So it's been 4 years now.
With yeah.
Out of the hiding and open. How's your business shifted in those 4 years?
Yeah. I think that I had to do some self exploration on what I wanted. And I think for a lot of agents, it's like, do you want to work on a team? And there's so many benefits there, or start a team. And then for me, I started a real estate team that kind of resonated with the life that I wanted to have. And so now we've got a team of 22 agents and about 14 support staff. And we're feel really good kind of where we're at with things. So we're excited where we're going and kind of created the life that I wanted to create. I didn't think I could create. It's pretty wild.
What is the structure for the agents on your team? Are they typically getting leads from you? Or are you teaching them how to hunt on their own? Is it a mix of both?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. So I think one thing about our team is like it's not about us, it's or a person, it's about like a mission statement, a shepherd, right? The shepherd is somebody who guides and protects others. So we've kind of created a model where these agents are creating their own independent businesses within the brand, and they use the brand to magnify their business. But at the same time, they got a ton of support structure. And right last year, 64% of their transactions came from the Shepherd Homes Group, so it came from a team-related transaction, and the rest is teaching them to build their organic business. I think if, you know, you can't create your own business, you're not going to last. If you're only dependent on somebody else, you're just not going to make it in the industry, because the industry is only getting tighter and getting harder, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. That's a good mix. You know, for every deal they're doing, you're creating 2 deals for them. So
yeah.
It's probably at least doubling their net income, you know, compared
yeah.
to what they could do.
Yeah, but I think people forget.
And they're getting the mentorship, the training.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if I did it again, if I started it again, I would have gone on a team and said, I'll do anything for any lead, right? Because I think people need to realize it's compounding, right?
Right.
The more deals you do, the easier the next year is. And I think agents are so focused on profit per deal instead of the number of deals. Well, they just do the deal.
So you think new agents should start out on a team, or at least consider it or investigate it?
I think they're a liability to the consumer on their own. Let's think about this. Okay, you're going to go buy the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy in your life. Okay, and you're going to have somebody who's never done it before themselves. They probably don't own a house, right? And then they've never helped someone else do it, guide you through the process. Does that sound like a good decision?
No, I think...
It's scary.
Well, yeah. And for a lot of places have mentors that they give agents for their first 3 deals.
True, but I just don't think it's the same. The mentor's like not.
It's
in
not
it to
the
win,
same. It's not
right?
the same as the team.
Yeah,
I agree.
Right, because like you, if you had an agent come to you and say, "This is my client," and it's your team, you're going to feel fully responsible for the success of that client because it's all yours.
Right.
But with mentorship programs, they're just not involved with the client ever. They don't have that intrinsic personal connection. So I think for any agent, being on a team is massively important to your success if you want to accelerate. But if you want that like kind of like personal, my name on the sign, I'm super famous, individual realtor vibe, then that doesn't work for a lot of people when they start. And it's that kind of like individual celebrity feeling that I think agents get cut out there that's not always successful for them.
I think it's definitely safer.
Being on a team or
individual?
Yeah. Yeah, being on a team, guaranteed.
To start.
I think if you join the right team, there's no reason why you can't net six figures when you start. Like,
right.
No questions asked. It's like, so if that was the case, why wouldn't you do it?
And that's our goal, is to get people within a year to six figures.
Yeah, I think it's so doable.
You know, it usually happens if they put in the work.
Well, that's the crazy thing. If you join the right team with all the resources you need and all the variables to your success are removed, the only variable is not the team, it's the agent. It's the choices that they make. It's how they show up for the day, right? And so many agents just aren't ready. I joke the 9 to 5 all the time. I said, if you audited your week 9 to 5, if you were working for an employer 9 to 5, would they have fired you if you showed up for work on time? Most of the agents aren't showing up for work on time.
Yeah. No,
right?
I agree. I think most don't time block effectively. Most probably don't spend even 10 hours a week on lead generation, follow-up, prospecting, which is only 2 hours a day.
2 hours a
day.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're only counting 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a lot. Yeah, and I think it's harder now than it was before, and it takes a lot more follow-up than it was before, and I think the consumer today doesn't want to be sold anymore, so follow-up looks different. And the market moves so fast. So if it's moving so fast and the way that we operate now is different than a year ago, how do you know unless you're part of the team? That's
right.
My opinion.
I think for new agents on their own, it's 10 to 20% will make it.
If that,
right? And
if
then
that, yeah.
If you join a team, I think those numbers get up into the 50 to 60%.
But I think you got to define making it too.
Right.
And I think making it is a deal a month minimum, because you can't survive without a deal a month minimum. But even then, I worry that that's still the wrong real estate agent in the marketplace, because a deal a month agent has to do the deal and is going to advise the client the wrong way, because they need the deal to happen. But the 2 to 3 a month deal agent, well, they're living a life of prosperity.
Right.
Their advice to the client's different.
They're not choosing between forcing a bad deal or paying
yeah.
the mortgage.
Exactly. They're advising the client appropriately, which usually leads to more business.
How have you grown your business, grown your team business in the 2023-2024 market?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking before the show, half of the realtors, 49%, did zero or one deal last year. You were doing one deal every, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
How are you doing it? And agents listening out there who have struggled, who thinking about getting out, who saw their volume cut in half, like, what do they need to do that they can learn from what you did?
Yeah, I think you get some like foundational pillars. So one is the dynamics of the market. So if we knew there was going to be less transactions, we saw it coming, right? We
mm-hmm.
saw the rate hikes coming. The conversation needed to start or like the middle of 2022 to be successful in Q1 of 2023. Because we're in a 6-month dynamic with the consumer. So number one is if you don't have the market trends to shift in advance, then you're gonna miss. And the teams that are on top of the right conversations that have done the right lead gen for the past 6 months will go into the quarter with low volume. That's like the first piece, is the forecasting of the conversation, how you're generating and conversating with the leads. The second thing is what leads you're focusing on. So for example, like going into 2024, I knew we were gonna be in a hot buyer market, right? Rates are coming down, there's this new stimulus, there's pent-up demand. So in Q4 of 2023, we're like, okay, we focused on listings really heavily for a long time. We shifted really heavily into buyers really heavily with huge buyer ad campaigns. We spent almost tripled our marketing budget for buyers, and we're like crushing the buyer market in Q1, right? Like 27 buyers closed in February.
Are you getting enough inventory and listings for them?
Well, what's so crazy is like when you have the right resources and you've coached the client and they're prepared, even in a low inventory market, you beat out everybody else because they're
right.
slower than you. And the market is speed. So that's the third piece. It's just the level of intensity in 2023. I think a lot of agents, when there are shifts in the marketplace, they love to blame the market. They blame the market every time, right? During COVID, how many agents do you know during COVID were like, oh, COVID was so tough, you know? Like, oh man, it just knocked my business out. But the agents that pivoted, with our best years was during COVID, right?
Our best was 2021.
Yeah, 100%. So then it's like, okay, well, what's the excuse? So putting the highlight back in yourself, if you're the only variable, the question is what variables are in your business that you control, and then control them all. But that needs a business plan. right? So third principle is a true business plan that reflects points one and two.
So you're coaching or have been coaching, you know, you've generated more buyer leads and then you're coaching them up front. What kind of coaching are you giving them to make them win more than they lose?
Yeah, so I think a lot of agents will not be in control. I think I talk about like this analogy of the surgeon all the time. When you hire a surgeon to do a surgery, right, like they're 6 months out, you'll just show up whenever they're available, right, because they're in control. And then they just knock you out. You wake up and the surgery's done. But with buyers, it's like we, a lot of the time, are not in control of the experience. The market's dictating it, the volume of the cadence of the transaction, and then the client's kind of telling you what to do. And then it's chaos, right, because they don't really know what to do. So we shift that by having a formal 45-minute buyer consultation with every buyer. It's either in person or in Zoom, often on Zoom, and we talk through the entire experience and leave the consumer with a real plan. Now, if you have a real plan, you know exactly what to do, it's not weird if your realtor tells you and guides you through the process, because that's what you're expecting. And so that allows you to create the chaos, tame the chaos, I should say, and control the environment. So if that person loses four offers, they're expecting to lose four offers, and they're still in the game to win the fifth offer, for example, right? That's so important, is having that formal consultation being.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the things that our team's done well. Carrie's taught for years is to do that process up front.
Yeah.
Set the right expectations.
Yes.
You know, really dive into the need behind their needs. And
I love that need behind their needs. I'm kind of shocked. A lot of people don't know what their needs are. Can I give a secret to the audience?
Please.
Oh, should I give it away, Dan?
It's going to be in the course, right?
Okay, I have an amazing real estate course coming out. Everything I wish I ever knew to be a realtor is going to be in this course. It's 4.5 hours long, okay? And one of my most magical, most powerful questions, which I'm going to give your audience today, is tell me more about that. Mm. It is the most...
Is that in one of the Phil Jones books?
No, it's like one of the best questions, because what's so powerful about tell me more about that is you are giving that person the ability to tell you what's most important to them that they often did not know, right? I want a large single family home. Got it. So tell me more about that. It gives them the opportunity to explore why they want the large single family home, right? Well, our dream is to have 4 kids. Well, how many kids do you have now? None. Okay, well, tell me more about that plan. Oh, well, our plan is to start having kids. Like, we're gonna start, our goal is to like start having, okay, great. Well, that's a really important thing to know. Right? So how many bedrooms do you need? And all of a sudden you're exploring it. And I've had clients increase their budget by 50% once they understood their actual plan for their life, that they did not have someone help them explore before. And that shows you how important a good real estate agent is. We're so much more than someone helping buy and sell. We're helping create financial plans for people.
Yeah, I like that one. Tell me more.
Oh, it's so good. Don't take it, okay? Tell me more. Don't tell me more about that. Should I use it on you during today's podcast?
You should.
Tell me more about that.
I think doing the consult up front would just save so many agents time, so many clients time.
No idea.
Probably would have reduced all of the lawsuit stuff that's coming on in the industry, which we won't get into, but I think just having the right conversations up front, explaining how the process works, how the buyer broker agreement is,
everything.
What the market's like, what
yeah.
You know, the last thing you want to do is like they finally see their dream home, love it, they're ready to write an offer, and now you're starting to educate them on contingencies and the things they need to do to win. And
you're behind.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dan over here has already pre-written the offer, has no contingencies, pre-negotiated deal with the agent, and has already won before you're even talking to your client about what contingencies are. That's the reality of the market. Crazy.
Where do you think real estate agents should focus on, you know, right now? I know you said buyers have been the huge focus the last 4 to 5, 6 months.
Yeah.
What about the agent who's struggling right now to get the next deal?
Yeah, I think there's 3 pieces. So one is your awareness of the market and education of the market, right? Because if you don't know what to do and how to do it in the market, regardless of how many buyers and sellers you have, you can't get them to transact unless you know how to operate in the market. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part about being a solo agent is the market moves so quickly. Like, you guys are doing, like, I don't know, 100 deals a month, something crazy like that. Well, you have all this data, this transactional data of how to win based off each transaction you're doing on a daily basis. The solo agent doesn't have that. So I would either join a networking group, get multiple mentors, or join a team to get that data you need. to make decisive decisions. Second thing is I think every agent does not have a schedule. The majority of agents that I coach, and I coach agents that reach out to me for one-on-one coaching that are outside of my team, and I'll do two audits with them. I'll say, show me where all your business came from and where every single transaction was since you started. None of them have that information, so they have no historical data. And then two is to show me your business plan and your schedule. None of them have a business plan, and none of them have a schedule. So those are the other two things, because without a framework, without some sort of plan, you can't even dream of being successful, right? It's a wish, hope, and a dream. There's no accountability. So know the market, surround yourself with people that can guide you in the market, have a perfect schedule that they can hold yourself accountable to, and actually have a plan for your business and then execute on that. Three principles.
Are you coaching agents right now that are not on your team?
I used to coach a lot.
Yeah.
So I used to coach a lot, and my coaching fee's just kind of gone up and up and up and up and up, because every time I coach another agent, it's time I'm not coaching someone on my team.
Right.
It's a huge opportunity cost, but I still enjoy it and I give back. And so I usually coach higher producing individuals or teams anywhere in the country. And I usually just do three coaching sessions for them. A lot of the time, people just need three really in-depth sessions for 1 hour to reset their business. And I set them on their merry way, and they can set up a call with me anytime after that.
Awesome. Well, and the course is going to be designed for any agent, right? New team member.
Yeah, I mean, so when I started real estate, I was like, what are the resources? I mean, your brokerage kind of has resources, but often the resource page in the brokerage is like, you know, 75 videos from like 2004 to now. It's so confusing.
Right.
So I wanted something that was hyper relevant for anybody, that was either the brand new agent wanting to know everything up front, or the agent that's been in the business for 20 years that needs the reset. It's perfect for both of those worlds. And it covers basically how to reset your business. Where do you start? Do you join a team? What brokerages do you join? What's the reality of those worlds? Because I've been in all of them at this point, interviewed with them all. And then from there, it's like, once you've got that set, what's the plan? How do you create the plan for your business? And I lay it out for everybody. And then, how do you create business? We cover how do you create business, very in detail. And then once you have the business, how do you close it? I cover all my scripts. I cover our listing presentation, cover my buyer's presentation. I share my listing presentation, which is very proprietary. It's gonna be available for everyone online. You can download it, use it, recreate it, compete against me with it. It's all yours. Okay? Okay, maybe don't compete with me, but
can't,
you know.
Can't buy it if you're in the Northern Virginia market.
Oh yeah, what's it? Maybe more expensive in Northern Virginia. And then at the end, it tells you how to create the actual business structure, right? And then like how to create that life of prosperity that everybody wants, because not many agents have done that, right? Not many agents can say that they're making seven figures every single year really consistently, and they can control income.
That's very few. Even teams that have 3 million and plus GCI typically are not hitting a million net profit.
Not even close.
Yeah,
$300,000, $500,000 usually if they're lucky. Yeah, and so I think it's super possible, super doable to net $1 million a year as an agent. We're very blessed in our market to have a great average price point. In smaller markets, probably much harder, right? For average price points, 160, harder, but it's all relevant. Your cost of living is lower too. But I think everything in the course you need to reset your business is in there. And then at the end, if you want a coaching session, you've done it, you've reset, you can have a coaching session with me at the end to recap and create a great business plan.
Okay, so if people out there are listening, they want to get access to the course. I know there's like a wait list. You haven't put it out yet.
Right.
How do they let you know?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way right now is just to find my Instagram. My first and last name, Jason Shepherdak, is my handle. Just DM me directly with your cell phone number and email with the word course. And my social media team will respond to you, put you on our waiting list, and we'll get you a link. We're going to have a Get to Know Us link coming out, which gives you a highlight video of what the course is going to be, and you'll formally sign up in the coming months.
Awesome. Well, we've talked a lot about what individuals should do and solo agents, but you know, you run a team, you coach other team leaders.
Yeah.
What should the team leaders be doing in this market that maybe they didn't have to do a year ago, 6 months ago?
Yeah, I think resiliency now more than ever is so important. I see a lot of team leaders giving up pretty quickly, and then it affects their team super fast. So now more than ever, you need to have a rock solid vision that is super clear that your team can follow. The teams that don't have that vision, the team members kind of don't know what to do, and they lose their enthusiasm for the business. That's the number one thing, because that affects culture, affects recruitment, affects pretty much everything. After that, I think you need to have a really good leadership plan. I think being on a team that where there's not lead opportunities, that it's a no longer exist. Those flat feet teams where there's not really a lot of resources in business.
There's flat feet teams out there?
There is. There's
really?
Teams.
How does that work?
They're kind of teams where you just like join.
Tell me more about that.
Oh, well, there's teams out there where you can kind of join. The splits are like 10% and they provide you just support staff basically. That's
yeah.
kind of like all there is. And it's like, I don't really see the benefit in that if you're part of a team. If you're part of a team, the benefit of the team is to grow your business exponentially
right.
and then have a consistent stream of income and brand substantiation that you can never create on your own. It's so hard to have that, right? Because in real estate, you don't have a decade to be successful. You've got a year. You've got a lot of time. People have 1 year to make it or break it.
Yeah.
What do? You got to join somebody that's got the business, that got the leads, that has a plan.
Okay. So I have seen those types of teams. And
yeah.
They're typically residing at uncapped brokerages.
100%. Like Homesmart, for example.
It's usually ones where like they have a sliding scale. So like new agents would be 60-40 or 70-30. But if they can join a team where the team leaders negotiated a 90-10 because they have the volume, now that team leader will bring that person on and give them an 80-20 and they kind of capture that 10% or 5%
yeah.
or whatever the difference is. And they, you're right, though. Typically, they're not providing leads. It's just
yeah,
they're
and they're not in it to win it with you. Right? If that team lead, like you got a team lead spending $30,000 a month on lead flow, just for example, which random number, they're going to be super invested in ensuring that you're trained, that you can churn, that you can convert, and that you're successful because they've got their money on the line. And that mutual incentive, I think, is super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
In real
That's
estate.
An interesting perspective or way to think about it.
100%.
Yeah, most team members probably don't realize that. There is a ton of risk on what you're doing. And
yeah.
So you really have to make sure your people are winning or you're going to lose big.
100%. Yeah, I don't think people understand to run a really strong, powerful team, it's super expensive. It takes
right.
a lot of money to run a ship. Right.
Which then it gets back to what you said right now, is the team leader's most important thing is resiliency. Like they need to go even harder on some of the stuff in this market.
100%.
Which
yeah.
takes resiliency.
Yeah, leading by example is so big. If you can't show up and be the person, I mean, look at someone like Kira Scholl, like, just prove an example, right? She's done everything that she's asking the team to do. She shows up, she's there, she's coaching, she's engaged, she can reach her anytime. Like, that kind of engagement and empowerment is what people need. Because it's so much more than just, like, selling real estate and having deals. Real estate's tough. It's lonely. It is emotional. You can get a lot of failure and rejection. So, you know, Tony Robbins talks about being in this state, this maximized state all the
peak
time.
Peak state.
Peak state! And, like, people, Jason, like, how do you have all your energy? I love coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. But, like, I manage my peak state. Like, I would say, like, 85% of my day, I'm in a peak state. And so,
how do you do that? What do you do? What's your routine?
Mornings are, like, crazy important. I don't have kids yet, so for all those things, like, Jason, I couldn't hear your schedule with kids. I get it, but I don't have kids. So I'm up at 6. I get 8 hours of sleep. I can't function without 8. I'm up at 6. I have a really important breakfast. I have 30 minutes to myself to really plan out my day and think. Very quiet time. I work out. I'm really into fitness. I work out for at least 1 hour, I sit in a sauna for 10 minutes, and take a cold shower. I'm so ramped up after doing that. I am so good to go. Can you feel my energy? I'm like, good to go. After that, I'm on my team call at 9. So I ramp up, and the first thing I do is invest in my team. So at 9 a.m., everybody on my team gets all of me and everything me when I'm in my best, which is at 9 a.m. So they're ready to go for the day. And then after that, I turn on to my business, right? That's engaging clients, my own lead gen, follow-up, appointments with agents. And then in the afternoons, always appointments and closings. And in the evening, I don't end my day without a plan for the following day, right? Emails, texts, everything is done. I live a life where every box is checked before I shut down for the day.
What time do you shut it off?
It's a mix. I mean, don't forget, I got that 8-hour sleep rule.
Right.
So a lot of the time is 10 or 10:30 up at 6 and 6:30. Is like the cadence, but we all know like Mondays, like sometimes I'll have 6 listings and I've got like 27 offers in my inbox. Like that's like a Sunday night and a Monday night up until midnight working on deals, right? So there's times where you're derailed from your routine a little bit, maybe a little sleep deprived, but I reinvest in myself. I'm a big vacation guy. I'm going to Palm Beach this weekend. I need lots of like in-depth resets. I usually take 6 to 8 weeks of vacation a year. I'm gone, Europe, wherever. Those resets are so important because I'm at my best self when I come back from my team.
How How are you still closing your one deal every 3 days when you're
going? When you've got resources. So like if you've got the transaction coordinator, listing coordinator, the TC, you've got title partners, you've got everybody you need, what are you needed
executive
for?
Executive agent.
Yeah, like I'm hired to find the deal, make the deal, negotiate the deal. That's what I'm hired for. Create the opportunities someone else can't create. Create the deal that no one else can create. Have the relationships that no one else has. Price and market the way that no one else has. Sell the home for higher than no one else has. But the moment that we're done with that, the team takes over and takes it to closing. I'm not good at that. You don't want me managing your transactions nicely.
Well,
you don't want me managing the nuances of emails, correspondence, of HOA documents. You don't want me to. I'm not going to be good at it. It's not my forte. But you want me finding that off-market deal that's perfect for you? Yes. That's where you want me spending your time.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. I always like to end with a hyper fast.
Boom! Let's go.
Ready for some...
I don't know. Should I be ready? Is it hyper fast?
It's hyper fast.
Tell me more about that.
just a series of questions that you'll answer hyper fast.
Okay, got it. Ready.
First one, what's your biggest piece of advice to a new agent starting out today?
Don't focus on the money, focus on the number of deals you can do, and ensure that when you're doing those deals, the level of customer service and care for your people is beyond anything you could have ever imagined.
What's the biggest challenge you've ever faced in real estate, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I would say having like weeks upon weeks upon weeks of rejection where nothing came to fruition, and those moments where you're just questioning yourself, is this for me, right? When you're starting out, I remember not selling anything for 6 months. I could have quit 10 times. But in the second half of the year, I sold $10 million. So you have to push through those moments.
If you had to start over today, and you couldn't take any of your money, income, database, name, and you had to go to a new city where you knew no one,
yep.
How would you get business?
I would find the most successful realtor and tell them I would do anything for them. I go to the number one realtor and say, I will do anything for you. I will work for free. Whatever you want to offer me, I'll take. I will be available to you 7 days a week at any time, and I would blow up my business just by being a part of that person.
Mm. Love that. Biggest piece of advice to team leaders today?
Now more than ever, our agents need so much more than just like your standard stuff, right? Like standard TC, the standard conversation, the standard meeting. Agents need more training, more engagement than ever before. It's such a tough market, and we need to understand that our agents need in-depth, quantitative training on a weekly basis to help them be successful. It's only the best of the best that's going to sell real estate going forward.
All right, last one. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
I would love to see the Shepherd Homes Group brand with a core team of agents where the average agent's producing $15 to $20 million an agent. I've always wanted a high-level producing core agent brand that is really powerful. And then I'd love to see the subsidiary companies we have, which we didn't talk about today, all super successful, where we have this kind of like conglomerate company where we can serve every aspect of the real estate transaction to a consumer without question. And then be in a full-time mentorship speaking role. I'd love to speak full-time, share what I've learned with others. I think everybody, when they find kind of a certain point of success, their focus is giving back, and I can see myself shifting in there in the next couple of years.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was a great story, great advice. I'm excited about the course coming out. Remind everyone again, how do they get access to that?
Instagram, Jason Shepherdak, super easy to find. I'm only Shepherdak, like in the United States, basically. Jason Shepherdak, DM me directly, DM me the word course, and we'll follow up with you.
All right, and if there's a buyer, seller out there, real estate agent,
yeah,
wants to connect with you, same thing, Instagram?
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah, just go to shepherdhomesgroup.com, find our website, or find me on Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Dan, a pleasure. Let's go.
All right. To all of our listeners and viewers out there, thank you for tuning in. Please follow Jason on Instagram. Leave us some comments. Give us some feedback. Share this with other real estate agents. We'll see you next time.